good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Somebody asked me or said to me, "So are you still wearing that black robe?" I said, "Yeah." Why am I wearing it? Well, I'm wearing it for two real reasons. One, because I shared with you on the 4th of July weekend that I'm coming out of the closet. And I figure everybody else is coming out of the closet. Why can't I come out of the closet? But I'm coming out of the closet as a more radical pastor in the pulpit. And I'm following the example of the pastors during the early part of our birth of our country. They were called the Black Robe Regiment. If you haven't Googled that, you really should Google it. Very inspiring. These were pastors who spoke out against the religious persecution that was going on. And they were the targets of the British Empire. These men paid with their lives. They died. They had their churches burnt down. They were serious about it, but I believe our country would not be what we have today if we didn't have what the British call the Black Robe Regiment. So I'm wearing it just to remind you that I'm pretty serious about speaking out a little bit more and getting more involved, and also encourage you, come out of the closet, man. Start speaking up. We're being marginalized. If you haven't recognized it, Christianity is being marginalized in this culture, and we're about to see it take another step where it's not only going to be marginalized, but it's going to become illegal. You know, the censoring of things from the pulpit. So here's what I'm going to do. So I don't want to every Sunday talk about politics and things, because I just don't feel inspired to do that. But what I will start doing, starting next Sunday, and the first Sunday of every month, for the next however many months that is, but the first Sunday of every month, we're going to take some time for our sermon and talk about what people refer to as political issues, but I refer to as moral issues. And we'll take a look at biblical perspectives. What does the Bible say about this stuff? And my hope is to give you some confidence and some direction about how to deal with these issues that we're dealing with every single day. It just continues. It's a bombardment of stuff that we're dealing with. So I'm going to kick it off next week. This is just who I am. But man, all I got to say is you best not miss next week. I'm going to break the law next week. I am. I'm going to commit an act of civil disobedience next Sunday. Now, don't worry. I will be getting some legal counsel this week. I have a meeting with one of our state senators this week to get some legal advice. And I will be talking to some lawyers. But I'm kicking it off next week with an act of civil disobedience and give you some biblical perspective. So just giving you a heads up, if you're on vacation next week, cancel it. You want to hear it live next week. You want to see it live. Tell you, man, we are in a very interesting time in our country's history, and I think it's time to get out of the closet, man, and start speaking up. So I will continue to wear this robe. I don't know how long, you know, I'll wait and see. But each Sunday I feel compelled to keep wearing it, and I'm doing it to be a reminder to you. It's time to speak up. It's time to come out of the closet. Let's be the salt. Let's be the light. I think every one of us has a circle of influence. Let's use it. But let's give biblical direction and perspectives as best we can. All right? So that's why I'm wearing the black robe. But this morning, we're continuing our sermon series that Josh Poland started 2 weeks ago called The God of Second Chances. I'm really excited about this stuff because it's probably going to push the limits for some of you, because this is all about grace. And whenever you talk about this kind of stuff, inevitably somebody stops me after the service and says things like, "How far are you going to go with this? You know, are you encouraging people to do bad things?" No, no, no. We're talking about God who gives people second chances. Josh covered the story of David and Bathsheba. Tremendous story about God giving a man a second chance. David, as king of Israel, did the most grievous thing you could ever do. I mean, he didn't only commit adultery with this lady, Bathsheba, but he kills her husband, who's this loyal guy, and tries to hide his sin. But he gets confronted by the prophet, and as soon as he's confronted, he repents, and God forgives him and restores him. There were consequences to his bad behavior, as there always are, but the consequences are never fatal. And so what happens is he loses the child that was the result of that adulterous affair. That child dies, but God gives them another chance, and they have a child. That second child happened to be Solomon, who was the best and the most powerful and wisest king that ever ruled in Israel, and some people think probably whoever ruled in the world. God restored David. He gave him a second chance. And lest we feel inclined to look down a little bit on David and say, man, that was really messed up, David, you know. The Bible is filled with stories of people who screwed up. And each one of them, you read the story, and then you see how God gives them a second chance. We have the story of Abraham, who, by the way, happens to be called the father of our faith. The father of our faith. Had a faith crisis. Failed. When God said to him, I know you and Sarah are old, but you're going to have a baby. They're in the 100-year range. Really 100 years old. So, yeah, that was an exercise of faith. But he failed, and instead he has relations with the servant and has a child by that servant. He was impatient, tried to help God out. God said, no, you screwed up here. You missed that first chance, but I'm going to give you a second chance. And God gave him a second chance. He has a miracle child, Isaac, and he does become the father of many nations. You have the story of the great prophet Elijah, one of the greatest prophets who ever lived. And there's a story in the Bible how he has this gathering and there's this battle between the prophets of Baal and Almighty God, and he defeats the prophets of Baal and has them killed. And the people repent and turn their hearts back to God. And then the great prophet Elijah hears that Queen Jezebel. Did that slip out? I was going to say that for next week. Queen Jezebel says she's going to kill him. And brave old Elijah gets so scared, he runs away from Queen Jezebel. Really. And he's hiding in the wilderness. And God restores him and brings him back. And God gave him a second chance. I mean, the Bible is filled with stories. Paul, who was killing Christians. And he has what we would call an eye-opening experience. He gets knocked off his horse while he's going to persecute Christians, and scales are on his eyes, and then God knocks those scales off, and he becomes one of the great missionaries of all time. I mean, the Bible is filled. Jacob, who lied, stole the birthright, which was promised to be his, but he stole it. He got it the wrong way, and he had to get another chance, and God had to wrestle with him to get him to get that second chance, but he did wrestle with him and beat him up good, and then said, now, let's go do what you're supposed to do, and changed his name, called him Israel, the father of the nation of Israel. The man got a second chance. The Bible is filled with these stories, filled with them. And so this is what we're doing, covering this whole topic of the God of second chances. This morning we want to look at the story of Peter. Peter the rock, Peter the apostle, Peter the leader of the 12. And we're going to read the story of where Peter denies the Lord. But not once, not twice. Three times denies the Lord publicly. And then we'll read about the restoration and how God always gives you that second chance and that third chance and that fourth chance. There's never a hopeless situation. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God is willing to give you another try. So let's read this morning the story about Peter. We'll look in the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. The Gospel of Mark chapter 14. And we'll read verse 27. So this is Jesus at the Last Supper. And he says to them, being the disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter said to him, listen, Jesus. Even if all those other wussies stumble, I will not stumble. You can count on me. Jesus looked at him, Peter, I say to you that today, as a matter of fact, even tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter spoke more vehemently. Listen, Jesus, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the other apostles, yeah, same with us, man. We won't deny you. Really, this is at the Last Supper. Well, just a few hours later, turn forward, we read this story. It's in the same chapter, but verse 66. What happens is Jesus is praying in the garden. The soldiers come to arrest him. All the disciples flee. The only two, there's one that follows, and we don't know who he is, but the only one who really follows Jesus back into the city is Peter. He follows the crowd back as they take Jesus to be tried. And you read it in verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it. I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. And he went out of the porch, went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to all those who stood by, "Hey, he's one of them." But he denied again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean. Your speech shows it." They had an accent like we talk about people who have accents from different parts of the country. "You're a Galilean. We can tell by your accent." But he began to curse and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. You read this story, it's actually found in all four Gospels. The Gospel of Luke adds, he didn't only weep, it says he wept bitterly. Would it be fair to say this is a major failure? I mean, I might have given him a little space on the first denial. I think he was shook up. Jesus just got arrested. He's kind of following at a distance. He's outside. He's trying to warm himself, and the girl comes up, catches him off guard. "Hey, you're one of them." And he's caught off guard. "No, I don't know him. I don't know him." Still wrong, but that was caught off guard. But the second denial and then the third denial didn't just happen in 1 or 2 minutes. As you read this story and as you see it unfold in the other Gospels, this denial, these three denials, took place over a period of time. Most people think it took place over several hours. So that means he had time to think this through about what he was doing. And then he gets asked, or you know, accused the second time of knowing the Lord, and he says no. And then he's got some more time, and then he gets accused a third time. Only this time, he doesn't just deny the Lord. What does it say he does here? I mean, what did he say? I was asking for some volunteers here. No one wanted to volunteer for like an illustration. Like, he didn't just say, "No, I don't know him." He didn't just say, "I don't know the man." He said, "You, I don't know you, but I don't know it." I mean, it's what cursing is, right? I mean, I don't know what the curse words were back in then, but he's cussing up a storm here. This is Peter. This is a born-again believer. This is a man who walked with Jesus three times. Man. This is a failure. How do you think he felt? Well, we know that it says when he thought about it, he wept bitterly. Yeah, I think he was beating himself up and thinking, "Man, I really screwed up here." You know what I think is interesting, though, when you read this story in all four Gospels? It appears that no one would have ever known this story except Peter told us. Nobody was there. Like, none of the disciples were there. So somehow this story got out. I'm thinking Peter told on himself. I think his guilt just was driving him crazy. And I think it would be fair to say that it says here at the end, "And when he thought about it, he wept." I'm pretty sure the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, a name given to Satan, I think he was probably right there pounding on Peter. "Way to go, Peter. Ooh, big Peter. Oh, you were so sure you weren't going to deny the Lord. Oh, Peter, you said to everybody you were going to do this. And oh, look, Peter, what a joke you are, loser. You and this Jesus experiment, get out of here." I mean, I would think that's probably what he was hearing. But let me just help you out. When you hear those kind of voices, they're not from God. How do I know? Well, how do you think Jesus responded to this failure by Peter? Well, we get some indication here if you just go forward a little bit. Go to chapter 16. Same gospel, Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, we're reading the story of the resurrection of Jesus. It's Easter Sunday. Jesus has risen from the dead. The ladies go to the tomb. He's not there, but instead there's an angel. And they have this encounter with an angel. Chapter 16, the angel says to them in verse 7, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Go tell the disciples and Peter that I'll see him in Galilee. Somebody. Why do you think he said, "and Peter"? Why do you think he said, "and Peter"? What do you think Peter was thinking when he heard that? The ladies come back, they're all kind of hanging out. And they say, an angel was in the tomb, and an angel said that Jesus wants to meet with you. Oh, and by the way, Jesus said, and especially you, Peter. And Peter's thinking, did the angel really say that? Yeah, the angel said, and you, Peter. Why do you think he said that? Because Peter's thinking he failed. And here's the angel saying, listen, Peter, you're still part of the gang. Come on, I want to hang out with you. I think if he didn't say, and Peter, probably Peter would not have gone to Galilee. And then we read the story in the Gospel of John at the end where Jesus again speaks to Peter and gives him a chance to make a confession that he's a follower of Jesus. But this is really important here. Jesus is reaching out to Peter through the angel. He knew he was going to fail. It was no shock to him, but it was devastating to Peter. How about you? You ever feel like you let God down? Anybody here want to tell us what you did? No, man. We're ashamed of it. Things we've done that every time we think about it, we're embarrassed. Ever hold back when the Holy Spirit has prompted you to speak to a stranger and tell them about Jesus? And I don't want to do that. Ever keep quiet when you know you should have spoke up for righteousness' sake? Ever been afraid, wondering what people would think about you if you told them about Jesus or if you invited them to church? You ever feel like you let God down? Have you ever made a promise and told people you were going to do something for God and then you didn't do it? Yeah, we all have, man. We all have. Peter did. He made it very clear. I won't ever deny you. I don't care if all the other guys do. I will not deny you. A couple hours later, oh, I don't know. I'm blankety blank this and blankety blank that. Really, Peter? Really? Yeah. Here's the thing. God's not caught off guard by our failures. He's saddened. And quite often there are consequences. But can I help you out? The consequences are not fatal. The guilt makes you think it's fatal. They may think you've crossed the line. They may think God is finished with you, but he's never finished with you. He's still the same God. He's restoring. He's always offering restoration. I mean, he doesn't only reach out to Peter here through the angel. Hey, make sure you tell Peter, I really want to see him, especially Peter. But just about 50 days later from this, you're reading in the book of Acts, Peter is so restored, he's so filled with God's Holy Spirit that he's preaching a sermon on Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. I mean, this is what you call the God of second chances. He brings this guy all the way back, man. He's got plans, and yeah, you may fall, and yeah, you may fall short, and maybe you didn't do this, maybe, but listen, there's another chance. He's ready. Yeah, he may have told you to do that, and you didn't do it. Maybe you got talked out of it. Maybe somebody scared you. But man, there's another chance. And he's telling you, listen, I've got plans for your life. And maybe you got off track. I mean, maybe you're sitting here today and you say, man, I've made some bad decisions. All right. And there are consequences. All right. But does that mean God's done with you? Well, I'm pretty sure the Bible makes it clear that that doesn't throw God off at all. It does not catch him off guard. He's got a plan for you, and as long as you will get back in the game, he will make it happen. But you got to get back in the game. In other words, I think when that angel said to go tell to the ladies, go tell the disciples, I want to meet with you. And Peter, that was Peter's moment of decision. Do I want to get back in the game or not? And bless God, he did. He became a mighty leader in the church. Because there's always that temptation. I tried once and I tried twice. And yeah, but come on. God is a God who continues to work with you. Some kind of short here. He continues to work with you. He'll continue to give you that opportunity, but you have to get up and you have to get in the game. You have to say, all right, God, I'm giving myself to you again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's try it again. I believe, God, with your Holy Spirit, you can restore me and you can fulfill your plan for my life like he did for Peter. When he first met Peter, he said, Peter, I got plans for you. I'm changing your name. I'm going to call you the stone, the rock, man. You're going to be a man who's going to be strong for the kingdom of God. And yeah, he was strong. He was kind of sometimes made some mistakes and did some things that were dumb. And then he has this ultimate failure. And he's thinking in his mind, and the enemy of God is pounding him down. And he's thinking, it's over, man. It wasn't over. He made an invitation. Come on back, Peter. I want to sit and talk with you. And they have this little conversation at the end of the Gospel of John where they're sitting over a meal, and he's telling Peter, I got plans for you, man. Let's go. Let's go. And then we read in the book of Acts, Peter goes, if you will accept me back, I'm in. And he preaches this gospel, the story of the resurrection of Jesus, and 3,000 people get saved. He's on target. And you read the rest of the book of Acts. He's back on track. Back on track. So listen, man. Let me just say it this way. Your yesterdays do not have to determine your tomorrows. They can, and your yesterdays are powerful. We're not saying you can do whatever you want. They can be powerful, but I'm telling you, biblically, your yesterdays do not have to determine your tomorrows. Peter denied the Lord on Friday. That's when it was. It would be just 3 days later on Sunday. He's invited back in. He could have said, yesterday, I really screwed up, it's over. But he said, I will not let that determine my tomorrow. I serve a God who's a God of second chances. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are a God of second chances. Wow. And we know it's even more than that. God, you're a God of third chances. 50 chances and 100 chances. You're always ready. You said in your word, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, you would never turn away, God. A humble, repentant soul you would openly embrace. God, I pray for each one of us here. I pray that we would make good decisions. I pray that we would not fail when tested. But God, when we do, help us to hear your Holy Spirit calling us back. Help us to recognize, God, you have a plan for our lives. And if we will continue to surrender our lives to you, you will fulfill it. Just take a moment here this morning. I just want to pray. I just feel compelled to, I don't know how else to say it, but to lift guilt off of some of you. Mistakes made last year, last month, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, however it is, but I get this picture that I see that dark cloud that's in this comic strip, Peanuts, that's hovering over that one guy. I see that as guilt, and sometimes it's hovering over people. And this morning I want to pray, I want to command that to leave as you, I'm sure you've done 100 times, but as you once again just release it and ask God to forgive you, that it would not come back and haunt you, that you could go on. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray any of the mistakes that we've made in the past, God, that cloud that wants to hover over us, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you blow it away this morning. In the name of Jesus, get off, get away, guilt, be gone. Be replaced this morning. Begin to plant that light of hope in our hearts, God, that you are a God of of second chances. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to take our offering. So I just keep hearing this phrase, the angel said to the ladies, go tell the guys and Peter that Jesus wants to hang out with them. I think what we need to do here this morning, take Peter's name out, put your name in. Put your name in. Put your name in. Try it. Just close your eyes. I'm going to take Peter out. I'm going to put my name in. Put your name in. Say it out loud. This is an invite right now. This is an invite. The angel said to the ladies, go tell the guys and David, say your name and, yeah, that Jesus wants to hang out with you. Try it one more time. The angel tells the ladies, hey, ladies, go tell the disciples and David that Jesus wants to hang out with you. Now, here's the question. How are you going to respond to that? You're going to say, okay? Yeah. Yeah, Father, I just know this morning you're bringing restoration. I feel a release of the Holy Spirit here right now. And I know some of you came up and spoke to me and Fiona. I just think what's happening right now is the Spirit of God's welling up inside of us. And our students that took School of Kingdom Ministry, we use this term. Sometimes God highlights people. You know, you see a picture of them in your mind or you look and you see somebody. But I just want to say right now, as we're going to close with our last song, I'm going to release you. If you feel like you have a word for somebody, Fiona, I really felt like that word that you spoke was really a specific word for somebody here this morning. Definitely Summer Joy. But I think some of you, there's God stirring in your heart. There's this welling up, this something. It's the Holy Spirit. So we're going to close with a song, and I'm just going to release you. As you feel led, if you feel like you want to just pray over somebody, just go up to them and say, hey, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's giving me something. You know, be gentle, be patient, be humble. But let's allow the Holy Spirit, because there's people here that do need to hear a word. They really need to hear a word. They need to hear something. So Father, we just invite your Spirit as we close with this song. I just release your gifts, God. Allow your people to minister one to another. In Jesus' name.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. Give life, you are love, you give light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you.
Thank you that you are the God of second chances. Thank you for your love that's never ending, never failing. We praise your name. That concludes our service. Be blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next Sunday. Don't forget there's the Philly cheesesteak truck out there, so let's enjoy.